Well, hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. It is February. Can you believe it? If you have been following along with this Bible reading plan, we have made it a whole month into this year and we are beginning to develop a rhythm of being in God's Word daily. And so I congratulate you. This has been so exciting for me and I feel like I've been learning so much. I admit to you that many of these passages have been difficult for me. Some of Jesus' sayings have been difficult, and also the passages in Isaiah. But I do believe that God is working through them for our good. And so we continue again today. We pick up where we left off in John chapter 16, in verse 16, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. This is Jesus speaking. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father'?" They kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered, "but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And now let's move forward to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 52, Psalm 53, and Psalm 54. According to the study notes in my Bible, Psalm 52 is fearless confidence in God when under attack by an arrogant and evil enemy. Let's read it together. "For the director of music, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul to tell him, 'David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long? You who are a disgrace in the eyes of God, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You who practice deceit, you love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. Selah. You love every harmful word. Oh, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, "Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints." And now we move to Psalm 53, which according to my study Bible is a testimony concerning the folly of the wicked. For the director of music, according to Mahalath, a maskil of David, "The fool says in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Everyone has turned away. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will the evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread, and who do not call on God?" There they were, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to dread. God scattered the bones of those who attacked you. You put them to shame, for God despised them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when God restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. And now we move forward to Psalm 54, which is a prayer for deliverance from enemies who want to have David killed. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a maskil of David. When the Zephites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us? Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Strangers are attacking me. Ruthless men seek my life. Men without regard for God. Selah. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes." And now we turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. The title in my Bible is Gods of Babylon. And in this chapter, God continues to remind us that he is creator and there is no other God. And so he kind of makes a mockery of all the other so-called gods. Bel bows down. Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beast of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain in the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. To whom will you compare me or count my equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on their scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it on their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot, it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I had a little chuckle in chapter 16 of John when the disciples say, "What does he mean? We don't understand what he is saying." Because these last chapters in John have been a little bit of a struggle for me. Oftentimes I wonder, "Lord, what do you mean? What exactly is going on here?" And so I just want to encourage you that sometimes you won't understand all that is of the scripture. And we just come to the scripture praying and asking that God would continue to open his word to us and to help us to understand. Father, we come to your word, a weak and uneducated and unknowledgeable people. And yet we come because we know you are the God of the universe, who has created us and also gives us understanding. And so we pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us understanding, not just of what the text says, but of what it means and how we can apply it to our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.